I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is the full show from today's episode of Undisputed from start to finish. They've got a busy slate, so skip Shannon. Let's get to it.
Good morning. Welcome to Undisputed. I'm Jenny Taft with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. How are we doing today?
Doing great. You know what came out, Skip? You know what's happening tomorrow. You know what they wear.
Yep. So we get to start this show talking about the true goat. And then in our next block, we're going to talk about the phony goat and his phony fourth ring.
Don't do that.
Here we go.
We will talk
about Nicky Foles might pull something off.
Don't worry, Shannon. We'll get to it. We'll talk about the Cowboys and their defensive struggles. But you know what, Skip? You're right. We got to talk about that other goat, the real goat. Tom Brady. His week four performance continues to look more impressive, guys. Not only did Brady sling 5 touchdowns and a come-from-behind win, but the 43-year-old quarterback was also named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. So, Shannon, did he deserve it?
Skip, I really came out this morning. I came out here to crush Tom Brady. But to answer Jenny's question, did he deserve it? No. Do I understand why he won it? Yes. Remember, sports is not always about wins and losses. It's about storylines. And what transpired in that game, Skip? 222nd victory, Tom Brady broke a record. Had won the most games, regular season games.
That had nothing to do with the Offensive Player of the Week.
Since you brought it up, I'm going to have to go there. Aaron Rodgers was 27 of 33, 327, 4 touchdowns, zero INTs. Mm. He had 4 touchdowns, 6 incompletions. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady was 30 of 46, 369, 5 touchdowns, and a pick 6. Mm. Let's not pretend that he beat a rookie quarterback. He beat a team that's led by a rookie quarterback, that their only victory came against Cincinnati in their rookie quarterback, and that's because the kicker pulled his groin on a field goal that would have won them the game. So stop this notion that all of a sudden he went out there and beat Drew Brees, because we saw what happened when he played a quarterback the opening day, right? Since you went there. It is about that, because you know how? Because you know what? I won that award in my last year in 2003. I had, I think, 6-7 catches, a buck, 0-1-3 touchdowns. But what transpired in that game? Oh, at that game, I caught the most touchdowns in NFL history by a tight end. I broke Jackie Smith's record. Did some quarterback throw for probably 300-400 yards in one? Sure they did, but it wasn't a more compelling storyline than Shannon Sharp becoming the all-time leading receiver at the tight end position for touchdown catches. Mm. So that does have something to do with it. Oh. Because if you look at it, Aaron Rodgers had a 97 QBR. Tom Brady had 85, which was the 8th best QBR of the weekend. And Aaron Rodgers did it without no Devontae, no Lazard, no Mercedes Lewis. So since you went there, it had everything to do with it. And no, he did not deserve to win this award. Mm. But I understand it considering what he did in the process. Mm. So stop it.
Mm. I'm going to start it. Tom Brady won this in a landslide over everybody else who played. You can have your Aaron Rodgers, you can have your Russell Wilson, you can have anybody you want this past weekend. And I'll take what Tom Brady did against the Chargers defense, coming from 24-7 down. And I'm going to say it again. You have been wrong about Tom Brady for 4 straight years on this show. You have told me repeatedly, year after year, He's done. He's washed up. He needs to go home and stay home. And here he is in week four. He wins Offensive Player of the Week at age 43, playing for a brand new team during a pandemic with no preseason games and no way to really get used to develop chemistry with a brand new group of receivers. And by the way, his two Pro Bowl receivers have been in and out of the lineup all year, and Chris Godwin has missed two games and is about to miss his third tonight. So I don't want to hear about Devontae or Lazard or anybody else you want to give me.
So they're not important to Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so let's look, okay, shall we, at what Aaron Rodgers did. He faced on, what was it, Monday night, he faced the 32nd dead last defense in scoring in the National Football League. Atlanta going into Aaron Rodgers. That's what I said. Aaron Rodgers. What did I say? Okay, no, Aaron Rodgers on Monday night faced the worst defense in the NFL because coming into the game, they had given up more points per game than my Dallas Cowboys had given up. And in that game, they had to start four backups at all four DB positions, and two of those got hurt during the game. So you're down to third stringers at two of the DB positions, and Tack McKinley was out, so you're down maybe your best edge pass rusher, certainly so.
Yeah.
Grady Jarrett was there, but he's more interior. And the point is that in this game, Aaron Rodgers was shooting fish in a barrel. Even you showed the one play where he could have thrown it to any one of five open receivers for a first down on fourth and two. It was a joke of a game to me. And Tom Brady faced on Sunday the fourth best scoring defense. They were ranked fourth coming into the game on points allowed. The same Chargers defense that held Patrick Mahomes boy to 9 points through three quarters into the fourth quarter in a game that my homeboy barely pulled out at Chargers.
Skip, you guys barely won. Were down 24-7, remember?
I know, we were down 24-7, and he did what he always has done for 20 straight seasons. He brought another team from dead and out of it to into it, brought them all the way back to 31-28 ahead. Then they give up, speaking of the rookie quarterback, they give up another touchdown bomb to the rookie quarterback. There was a 53-yarder and then a 72-yarder. Suddenly put the Chargers back ahead, 35-31, and he did it again. He brought them back again and hit my little man, Keyshawn Vaughn from Vanderbilt University, their third-round pick, for his fifth touchdown pass to bring him back a second time in the fourth quarter. Yet another fourth quarter comeback for Tom Brady. I don't know how you can top that. The degree of difficulty was, I'll give Tom an 8. Your degree of difficulty for Aaron Rodgers was a 0.
Hold on. Let me see. Was Derwin James one of the better safeties in football?
Yep.
Was he in the game?
Nope. No.
What about Melvin Ingram?
Nope, he was not there.
Oh.
But
so
they're still playing at a very – was Casey Hayward of Vanderbilt University there?
It,
was
stop
he there?
Hold on.
Judged the best cornerback for several years in this league?
Hold on. This is not the same Chargers team that lost to Carolina without Christian Black C-Mac. Not that Carolina. That this Chargers team. Okay.
The one that almost beat the Kansas City Chiefs that you said
prohibitive favorites. They almost beat you.
Well,
you said Tampa Bay is prohibitive favorites.
They came back. He threw five touchdown passes. How can you – there's no way you can discount this one. He's got you dead to rights.
Yeah. And you threw 13 more passes, but you had 39 more yards. Or you had 40 more yards. I mean, really, Skip? You had 40 more yards, really? And you threw 13 more passes. And you threw a pick six for the second time this season.
He did. And he overcame it with five touchdown passes.
Skip.
24-7 down to that defense and came back.
You look, think about it.
Atlanta's defense was probably, by the end of the Monday night game, worse than even my Cowboys defense.
You, Skip, the guy has a higher QBR, higher completion percentage, yards per attempt. And you're saying that he didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
So
he did not deserve
it. I want you to keep that same energy.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it. And by the way, Tom Brady is doing things that nobody has really locked into and noticed because you continued to discount him as dink and dunk Tom.
Now what are you doing?
Throwing to his backs.
Backs and tight ends, yep.
He now has five completions on which the football traveled more than 30 yards. That is five for this year. Last year in New England, he had five for the whole year. This is five through four games.
You're feeling real good about yourself, aren't you?
No, I'm feeling great about myself because you are so wrong about this. How about this? On just deep passing yardage through four games, guess who leads the whole league in that? The 43-year-old. Deep passing yards. It's ball travels deep, okay? He is completing at least three deep passes a game for an average of 102 yards a game, and that's the tops in the league. How can you fight with that? Even Pro Football Focus on its overall grading system has him graded Tom Brady third in the league. It has Patrick Mahomes seventh so far.
And
I think that's
that.
Exactly. Oh, they do.
Yeah.
If you've watched him closely, if you watched him at Chargers, if you watched him against Belichick's defense, he was pretty shaky.
What do you think Belichick's defense would do against Tom Brady? A guy that he's
studied. Oh, I would love to see that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I would love to
see it, too.
Yeah.
Skip.
Did you see what Russell Wilson did to Bill Belichick's defense? See what he did?
Yeah.
Wasn't that
I saw what New Orleans did to Tom Brady. I saw what he did to Tom Brady.
In week one?
Oh, now it's week one.
Where he hadn't played a snap with his receivers in a real game? Preseason game?
No,
are you kidding?
It doesn't matter. He the GOAT. The GOAT don't need practice. It doesn't matter what week it is. What happened?
Pro Football Focus says that Tom Brady leads the NFL in what are called big-time throws with 16.
I noticed what I'm noticing about Pro Football Focus.
Yep.
When Tom Brady was leading in QBR, that was the only stat that mattered. Now he's down at the bottom, we come up with big-time throws. It used to be QBR. It used to be completion percentage.
And by the way, we keep trying
to find a way to get him on the list.
You ripped Brady yesterday. You said he's throwing to wide open receivers. So
yes.
Here's the definition of Pro Football Focus's big time throws. They're throws with excellent ball location and timing, generally thrown further down the field and into tighter windows. I've seen a whole bunch of throws where the man was covered and the ball hits the receiver right there.
Show them ones to Scotty Miller. Ooh. And I want you to tell me he's covered. Show the ones to Scotty Miller when he caught the touchdown. Show those.
No, he was open.
Mike Evans. Those are open. He's open.
Okay, but he's thrown a whole bunch where the receiver was covered. And I said, wow, that was a good throw.
Skip stop.
And we're not even counting the ones that were pass interference because he threw deep balls that were right on target and the DB had no choice but to foul.
I believe Aaron Rodgers should have won this award. But I understand.
Against the Atlanta defense?
Hold on, the NFL team, right?
I don't know. That's debatable. You've already called for the man's job, right?
I just
for Coach Quinn, right? Shouldn't he be un-Coach Quinn?
I don't really know what Mr. Blake is hoping, but hey, that's his business. He runs high. But Skip, so in other words, so we got to take a touchdown. We got to take one touchdown off the board because you can't give up a touchdown and get a touchdown. So in other words, Tom Brady had four touchdowns just like Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. And fortunately, Justin Watson, he was the target of both the pick sixes that Tom has thrown this year. I'm knocking on wood that he has a quick return, but he's out tonight, so at least you don't have that threat in the lineup.
But Tom Brady makes everybody better. Make Justin Woods better. That's what Justin Tom Brady's known
Watson,
for.
Yep.
Justin Watson.
Yep.
That's what you told me now.
Ivy Leaguer, Penn, fifth
round. What they got to do with anything so they can't play football? They don't play football in the Ivy League?
Some of them can.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I thought you said Vanderbilt was the Ivy League of the South.
No, we're the Harvard.
Y'all thought y'all were the Harvard.
Actually, Harvard is the Vanderbilt of the North.
Okay.
You got to get that straight.
So, in other words, Casey Hayward and Keyshawn Vaughn got no business in the NFL because they went to Vanderbilt.
We are an NFL pipeline. We are an MLB pipeline. You can't turn on a playoff game without seeing two or three Vanderbilt
I'll give you baseball. I will concede that. Mm-hmm. But I ain't going to no football.
They're everywhere. Which brings us to tonight.
Yes.
This is going to be a tough test for Tom Brady because speaking of all those receivers, Chris Godwin is still out. Mike Evans, once again, did not practice, is listed as questionable.
He's not going to – guess what, Skip? Mike Evans, there's a great chance Mike Evans does not practice the rest of the season.
Great.
But he's going to play.
Scotty Miller did not practice once again, listed as questionable. Leonard Fournette is doubtful. LeSean McCoy is out.
You buy all that, too.
O.J. Howard is gone for the whole year.
So, in other words, Skip, what you're trying to do is that you're trying to sell the general public that Tom Brady is about to do this with guys that they just signed yesterday. You and I both know Scotty Miller's going to play. Mike Evans is going to play, and everything will go according to plan. Mm. And he's going against Nick Foles. Nick Foles is a nomad. He seems to have only had success in Philly. You know that. I know that. So stop trying to build this up, Skip.
Once upon a time, Nick Foles and their only other meeting in pro football, it happened to be in a Super Bowl in which Nick Foles hung 41 points on Bill Belichick's defense.
Skip. He had
41.
He had a stretch of two games, the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, as played as well as any quarterback has ever played two meaningful ball games. Mm-hmm. I will give you that.
Yep.
But to make this notion that Nick Foles has had a Peyton Manning or a Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger type career is a fallacy. He's a nomad. He's bounced around. He seemed to have only had success in Philly. That's factual, Skip.
Well, I did see Todd Bowles give up two bombs to Justin Herbert at home the other day. Yes. 53-72.
Well, that's what
yards.
Happens when you, Skip, that's what happens when you underestimate someone. And you don't realize, man, he's not gonna throw this ball over my head. Or they might have came with a blitz. They didn't get there. They're anticipating. You're playing for a route, and the guy gets behind you. But stop this. Mm. Stop this. Tom Brady won the award. You and I both know it was his 222nd victory, his 5 touchdowns. I think he might have tied Peyton Manning or broken a record with that. So I get it. It is a more compelling storyline than Aaron Rodgers throwing four touchdowns and 327 yards on a Monday night, as you said, against a battered Falcons defense. Mm-hmm. The more compelling storyline is Tom Brady, 222nd victory, and he threw 5 touchdowns in that game. That's how it works.
The only compelling storyline I care about is Tom Brady against a very good Bears defense at Soldier Field tonight, featuring Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, Eddie Jackson. Does that do anything?
Skip.
Kyle Fuller, does that do anything for you?
The Bears should have won one game. Detroit, the running back drops the touchdown in the end zone with 20 seconds. That would have won them the game. The Falcons had a lead. The Falcons shouldn't have lost that lead. They should have won one game.
Mm-hmm. Are they a good defense?
They're okay. They're not what they want when Khalil first got there. They're not that defense, but they're a solid defense. The problem is they play too many snaps because their offense is inefficient and keeps them on the field longer than what it needs to be.
Mm. The problem is Brady's going to have to go to Gronk tonight. He's going to need, there's no O.J. Howard. Maybe it'll be a little Cameron Brate. Maybe that Tyler Johnson.
But I'm trying to figure out, hold on. Bruce Arians, the head coach, said to everybody, we're not a tight end based offense. We don't throw to the tight end. Now, all of a sudden, why you want to go to it? So unless the offense have changed into a Brady offense, why would you go to the tight end? Because they've never thrown to the tight end.
Mm. Well, maybe it's time, and maybe he was just setting people up by not telling the truth. Do you just blurt out the truth?
Skip.
Do you let them see what's coming not coming?
Everybody knows B.A.'s offense is not tight end friendly. It's not. It's a wide receiver-based offense. It's to throw the ball down the field. He loves chunk plays. Mm. He loves to try to rip your heart out with a 50-yard to 80-yard touchdown pass.
You told me Tom Brady's just dink and dunk. You told me he's a noodle arm that he's washed up. That's what you've been telling me.
All I'm saying is if you look at the targets between the backs and the tight end, it's greatly increased from week 1 to week 4. Mm. It went from 15 in week 1 to 24 in week 4. That's what we know.
So most deep yardage in the whole NFL? Yikes. Huh.
And
how can you argue out of
most
that one?
Most throws to the running backs other than what Drew Brees
does. Is it legal to throw it to the running back?
I'm not saying it's not, but let's not pretend that he's giving the bomb, the plays that Jameis gave you last year with the big chunk plays to Godwin and Mike Evans. That's not the case.
Jameis turned it over 35 times. Want to bet Tom doesn't turn it over 35 times?
He going to have just as many pick sixes as Jameis.
You think how about turnovers? How many cases you want to bet on turnovers?
No, he's not.
Thank you.
Because you know why? He's not going to take the risk that they asked Jameis to do. B.A. asked Jameis to throw the ball down the field. And when the ball got in harm's way, he frowned on it. Well, he's not asking Tom to put the ball up like that. He did in week 1, and you got upset. How dare you call him out? How dare he's a GOAT?
And I called Bruce Arians out for saying that, and guess what Bruce did one day later? He apologized because he was wrong and I was right.
No,
I don't know. I'm not in the Hall of Fame. How do I know football? I knew what happened. It was an option route and Mike Evans stopped.
Okay, what about that? What about that pick six to Jack Rabbit? Yep. Whose fault was that?
Okay.
I told you,
two to Justin Watson.
Okay, well, so whose fault were those?
I'll put it on Brady.
Put it on Brady. They were absolutely
Leads the league in deep passing yards. He leads the whole league.
Does he lead the league in passing yards? Does he lead the league in QBR? Does he lead the league in touchdown passes? Does he lead the league in completion percentage? Yards per attempt.
How does a noodle arm lead the whole league in deep passing yards? Help me out.
Hey.
Does he have 530-plus yard air distance completion?
For 4 years, you told me QBR was the gold standard in which we measure. Tom Brady.
I didn't say it was the gold standard. Yeah, I just said I liked it.
Okay. Yeah. But now all of a sudden you don't like it. You never mentioned QBR because Tom Brady is not at there.
No, I'm mentioning it because you say he's dink and dunk and that he's washed up and that he shouldn't be playing at 43. The NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Skip.
I did not say he should not be playing. I'm saying everybody says he's... I just want to know why does he keep throwing these pick sixes on out routes if his arm is the same. He's never done this before.
I showed you a throw yesterday from the near hash across all the way to the sideline. It was a deep curl. It wasn't a deep out.
Well, Skip, if you're going to run play action and you're going to hold the backer, yes.
Does he have enough arm strength to make that throw? It looked like every other throw Tom's made since 2001. Did he ever have a cannon?
No.
But he's the GOAT.
No, actually, he's not.
Actually, he's not?
No.
Who is? Patrick Mahomes?
We can
after one
Skip.
Super Bowl?
Look, we're not talking about what he's done and what he's accomplished. We're talking about right now. So are you saying he's the best quarterback in the NFL at this moment?
I just think he's really good, and he is playing for an NFC contender.
That's all I want to hear you say.
Well, all I want to know is who's going to win tonight?
Tampa Bay, 27-17.
By 10?
27-17.
You know, the spread's plummeted all the way to only Bears.
I don't care what the spread has done.
Get 3.5.
I don't put spread on my sandwich. Okay. I don't want no spread or bread spread.
You trying to jinx him?
No, I ain't trying to jinx. Skip in Chicago.
That defense is still really good.
Nick Foles came in against Atlanta, and they won that game. Mm-hmm. What happened the very next week when he started and there were expectations? How did he look when he had expectations?
Mm.
How did he look in Jacksonville in the system? Because the guy that was at Jacksonville OC came from Philly. How did he look in Jacksonville? Mm-hmm. Gardner Minshew was the starter.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved on from Nick Foles after they gave him $50 million guaranteed.
Mm.
Nick
Foles has one of the greatest playoff resumes ever.
Skip, I'm not going to debate that. That NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl might be the best NFC Championship game, Super Bowl combined, in NFL history. Mm. I won't deny that. But his body of work is very incomplete.
Okay. I hope he's just a journeyman tonight. And I hope that Tom Brady can make it work without Chris Godwin and maybe without Mike Evans. I don't know if he's going to play or not.
It might be a short week, so it might be. I mean, he would have if it wasn't Thursday, he would have Thursday, Friday, you know, Saturday to get ready. But who knows?
He'll be handicapped tonight.
He ain't going to be handicapped.
He will be handicapped.
Goat don't make excuses. Goat don't make excuses. Is that what you tell me?
You make a lot of them for LeBron James.
No, don't do that, Skip. Don't you mention them in the same breath.
I think this is low scoring. I think it's going to be close. And I think that Tampa Bay will win this game 23-20 because that's how the Bears play. And the last time one of my teams played on Thursday night at Soldier Field, it was last December the 5th. And my Cowboys fell behind 24-7 after three quarters, and you know the rest of the story.
But you already know how your Cowboys. I told you this was going to happen to your Cowboys.
Yep. No mercy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go
to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Lakers announced they will be wearing the Kobe Bryant Black Mamba jerseys for Game 5 on Friday with an opportunity to clinch the title. The team originally announced they'd wear them for Games 2 and 7 for the finals, but now they've added Game 5 to the list. And L.A. is a perfect 4-0 this postseason while wearing the jerseys. So, Shannon, what do you make of this decision?
I love it. They're saying this thing, we're trying to end this thing on Friday night. Mm. And we're trying to end it in the style that Kobe would love. Mm. Mamba mentality. We going for your throat. Mm. Just so you know. So I understand that what your mentality is, Jimmy Butler, your confidence is high and we going to play hard. But we just letting you know, when we put these on, you already know what time it is, Skip. Mm. You know, I used to do my grandfather, when he started getting that hat out, he set that hat on the dresser. Oh, I said, well, Papa about to get clean today. Mm. They putting them black jerseys on, Skip. It won't be long now. Mm. You know it. It's over. Mm. GOAT James and AD says, look, we put those jerseys, we feel that we cannot be beat. Mm. We feel that we channel all that in. Because Kobe told him at the beginning of the year, you have everything you need not only to go and compete for a title, but to win it. Mm. I might predict the score 150 to 120. Mm,
it well may be.
Yeah, but we win this game. It's over. It's over. Everything but the shouting is over. Mm.
I do agree with your conclusion, but when I first saw this last night, my first reaction was the same reaction I had during a game that I know LeBron James was very interested in watching, an NFL game featuring his fake favorite team, the Cleveland Browns, against his true favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys.
The man is from Akron.
It's all fake. He grew up a Cowboy fan. He's been photographed on the sideline for Cowboys at Browns games wearing Cowboy paraphernalia.
Okay. Odell is boy.
Yeah. No, this is even pre-Odell. This goes way back. But something happened in that game early that made me think of this same concept here for this game. And that was on the first Cleveland touchdown, what happened? They called a trick play. Mm-hmm. And I sat back. In fact, I tweeted this. Why would you resort to a trick play against the worst defense in pro football? Why did you need to do that? Why didn't
you just run your regular plays?
Just hand it off. They were on their way to 307 yards rushing. Just let Nick Chubb go boom, boom, boom for a touchdown. Or let Baker just drop back and pick any one of four or five open receivers for a conventional touchdown. You don't need any trickeration. So when I heard Mamba jerseys, I'm thinking, why would you try to kill this Miami Heat gnat with a sledgehammer?
That's what you do.
And it's an injured gnat. How can you try to kill this injured gnat with a sledgehammer? The gnat is still down. It's leading playoff scorer Goran Dragic. And you're going to go Mamba jersey on that team?
Yeah.
This team in game 4 the other night played 3 rookies high minutes. One of them, Tyler Hero, is the youngest player ever to play in a finals game. And if I have my bet long term, I don't think either Tyler or Duncan Robinson or little Kendrick Nunn at 6'2" will ever make an all-defensive team. Is that fair to say?
No,
I don't think they will. And you had 3 of them on the floor, and it's like, well, pick your spot. Who wants to score now?
Well, I think the thing is, Skip, the reason you can get away with this, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm right, is that you're in the bubble and you don't have the element of the crowd noise or of traveling. So it's really easy because guys can get comfortable. And we've seen this because I don't believe there's a reason why Magic Johnson was the youngest guy to ever start a finals game, Skip. And so when you take that element out of it, we've seen guys in this situation have unbelievable that we never thought was going to play like this. And when you take that out of it, and maybe this is why you're getting what we're getting. But that's why we're doing this, Skip. We're trying to end. Look, we've been down there for 3 months. We've been down there long. Us, the Miami Heat and the Lakers, have been in that situation for the longest, for 3 months. We're trying to get back to L.A. Saturday morning.
Pronto.
Yes.
I got it. The Miami Heat preseason were 75-1 to make it to the finals, which now makes them the longest shot in the last 30 years to reach an NBA finals. Mm-hmm. And that's 30 years because that's as far back as the data goes. They might be the longest shot ever.
Yep.
And they should have been swept, but they won one game that I called the greatest single game upset in finals history because Jimmy Butler had the greatest finals triple-double ever. That's what it took for you to lose one game.
But, Skip, I don't understand how you're saying they should be swept when there were 75-1 chances to get there. So, obviously, that means if you're 75-1 and you've got to beat three teams and you got to beat them four times, you got to win 12 games, that means you're more than capable of winning a game no matter how big the odds are.
This team has two superstars. The Heat have none.
Yeah.
This L.A. team has a 6'9" point guard who is bigger and stronger than the starting center for the Miami Heat, Bam. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go Mamba jersey
Mamba.
On?
Mamba!
It's not
and
fair.
Mamba, see, hey.
It's unnecessary.
Vanessa said Mamba and Mambacita approve.
She tweeted
Good
that
night.
Or posted that. Yep, I got
you
it.
You nervous, Skip?
And
Are you
know
nervous?
What? I believe that somewhere up there, the great Kobe Bryant is shaking his head thinking, why don't you save it for a special occasion
it's
when
special.
You really need it?
It's special.
Oh.
Game 5, win the jersey, and honor Kobe. Kobe would have it no other way.
Hmm. Well, just a thought. I know this is an impossibility, but what if you lose? What does that do to the Mamba magic of the jersey?
We're not losing. We're not right? losing 3-1
this
lead.
This is a lock. This is dead set game over, right?
You see that look?
Yep.
You
I
see
got
that
it.
Look?
That's that look.
And AD?
Yep. And I'm glad you brought him up because do you realize that the Mamba jersey actually saved him from himself?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember what happened at the end of game 2 against Denver in the black jersey, the Mamba jersey,
yeah.
snakeskin jersey?
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened to your man LeBron James?
Nothing happened.
If we could see this inbound play.
Right, a great
play.
Decoy. That great yeah. decoy.
Huh. Rondo's inbounding. There's LeBron. The play is called for LeBron. Rondo said, I locked eyes with him. He did not move. He did not move because he was 1-for-6 in the fourth quarter and 0-for-3 from three.
AD said it was a decoy.
Was he?
That
yeah.
what AD say.
AD no. knew the play was called for LeBron James, and he did not move because he was afraid to move because he
but
just didn't have it going.
Guess who wasn't afraid?
Mm.
So I want you to tell me, if Jeremy Grant is fronting LeBron, why would Mason Plumlee also run to LeBron?
Mm. Well, that's his fault.
No, nah, because they
were
scared.
He just lost.
Because they scared.
Scared of what?
Because they're scared of GOAT.
Nope, he just didn't have a plan because AD came all the way across, looped all the way across the top of the circle.
Yeah.
And he's running thinking, what am I doing? Where am I supposed to go? I don't know what to do because they thought it was going to be a lob to AD. He was only in the game, Plumlee, to stop the lob.
Hey.
And all of a sudden, AD's running to the far three-point line. And he's like, I don't know where to go. Should I just stop here?
Skip, Jeremy Grant told Mason Plumlee, they have the copy. You could hear it. He tells Mason Plumlee, come here. Come here. That's what he told him. They thought that LeBron, that's why LeBron did the decoy move on him.
Oh.
AD got a wide open look.
Well, then why wouldn't LeBron say in the huddle, the sideline huddle, I'm going to be a decoy? The play, according to everybody, including Rondo, was called for LeBron to move. I locked eyes with him. He did not move.
Two people needed to know. Whew. AD and Bron. Nobody else needed to know anything.
AD said right after the game, the play was called for Bron.
If you go back and look at the footage when they're walking in the locker room, he says, great decoy, Bron.
Wow.
You see, Skip, when too many people know a plan.
You're just making
it up. I'm not making it up.
Evan,
do we got, Evan, we need to blow that up. Because we got it. We got it. We
great
got it.
Great decoy.
Great decoy. And we also got the footage of where Jeremy Grant is telling Mason Plumlee, I want you to come right here. That's what he told him. I want you to come right here.
I got the quotes from Rondo saying, I looked here. I locked eyes with Bron. He did not move.
When too many people.
Rondo expected him to move. You better tell the inbounder.
No, I ain't telling nobody. I'm not telling anybody.
You better.
Because you know what I know he's going to do? He's going to throw it to the guy that's open.
Mm.
And once he realized LeBron was not moving, losing the decoy, he saw AD, great bounce pass, AD one motion. Whop, hop. That got you nervous. LeBron, you were nervous.
LeBron was 1-for-6 in the fourth quarter, 0-for-3 from three, and 0-for-1 from the free throw line. He wanted no part of the last shot. And Mamba Magic saved him from himself, took him right off the hook because AD went right up thinking, I got this because I got a Mamba jersey on.
Has LeBron James more than made up for it against the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat?
I don't know. That's debatable.
Oh, so we're not going to talk about what he did in Game 7. Game 5.
How can you make up for it against the Miami Heat?
No, we made up for it against the Denver Nuggets, the team that you had down 3-1 and got walked and got a coach fired and about to get Paul George traded. Mm. That's what your team did.
Because my team was looking ahead to a series they knew they could win in the Western Finals against the Lakers.
If you in a car with no wheels, what you looking ahead for? You can't go nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's what y'all is on a car and block.
You are so lucky. LeBron's easiest path to a ring ever.
I just want to know where Pat Bev. I want to know where all that Kiki is. How he gonna send somebody home? It's his time. It's their time.
LeBron's gonna take his ring to a jeweler and get it appraised, and the jeweler's gonna say, I'm sorry, it's fake.
Oh, no. Skip Bayless, you know this.
It's fake. It's Skip. Cubic zirconia.
No. Skip, see, you pay for that storefront. Yep. You playing for the blue box. Man. You playing for, you're on Rodeo. Man, go on to Costco. Go to Sam's Club and get you a good old diamond ring. You ain't got to pay for all the foo-foo stuff.
You're that afraid of the Miami Heat, you need to pull the Mamba jerseys out?
We going for the jugular. Jugular.
They've already bled out.
No, not yet. We going to make sure.
No mercy.
Start Saturday strong with a special Big Noon Saturday on Fox. 22nd running Texas battles Oklahoma in the Red River Showdown, where I'll be. The latest chapter of this epic rivalry features rising star Spencer Rattler taking on the veteran Sam Ehlinger. It all starts with Big Noon kickoff at 10 Eastern, and then it's the AT&T Red River Showdown Saturday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app. The Cowboys have been getting crushed for not only allowing the most points per game this season, but also for their lack of effort on certain plays, including Odell Beckham Jr.'s long reverse touchdown run. During a conference call, starting safety Xavier Woods acknowledged their poor play, then responded to questions about their effort, saying, quote, we're in the NFL. You don't expect guys going full speed for 70 plays. That's not possible. Shannon, does he have a point?
No, he got no point. And if I'm Mike McCarthy, I cut him. He can't say that. Skip, you don't go hard, but there is an expectation level that you do go hard for 70 plays. Skip, I remember Randy Moss said something very similar. He was crushed. Skip, Randy Moss was at the time, he and T.O. were the two best players in football, were receivers in football. He said that he was obliterated. Mm-hmm. That's Randy Moss. And we're talking about a guy. He's a guy. He got to go. Because if you're telling me effort is not the issue, well, then it's personnel. And if it's personnel, guess what I can replace, Skip? Mm. Personnel. He gone. I can't have him talking like that in that locker room. On that play, Skip? So you mean to tell me on that play, that's the play you're going to choose and say, you know what? I'm cool on this one. That's the play. The one play, Skip, is 41-38 at that point in time. We get a stop. We got all the momentum. There's no question in my mind Dallas wins this game. If they get that ball back, they're going to win this game. And so he chose that play. They chose that play to say, you know what? We've been going hard for about 60 plays. So we good. We don't reach our quota for going hard. Skip, he got to go. I don't want that in my locker room. If I get it. I played 14 years, like to think I was an okay player. And he's absolutely right. But there's an expectation that you play hard. For you to come out and say, nah, we ain't bad. 70 plays, nobody can't go hard all them plays. Skip, you can't go hard. I get it. Skip, if there's a situation, let's just say for the sake of argument, we're down 3 points. It's fourth down. And I loaf off. I choose to play that we're down 3 points, Skip. It's fourth down. I'm going to loaf on that play?
Yep.
Bruh, you're going to take the play, 41-38. You're down, and that's the play that you're going to say, you know what? I'm good. Nah, Skip, they're not winning with that. I keep telling you, Skip, let them talk. They'll tell you everything you need to know. No way and no how. I want that guy on my team. Mm. I'm good, Skip.
Yep. So the first point I wrote down right here on my little sheet was if Xavier Woods had made that statement under Jimmy Johnson, he would be gone right now, today.
Yes.
He would come in and his locker would be cleaned out.
Skip, unless you are a historically great player, which Randy was, if you make that statement, you're going to get fired.
Yep, I agree. If he had been playing for Tom Landry, I'm pretty sure he would have been demoted today. That's just the way it works.
Yes!
Because those teams, as I told you yesterday in detail for you, they were scared to death of the head coaches, Landry, and especially Jimmy.
Skip, let me tell you a true story. Mike Shanahan cut Michael Dean Perry, mm-hmm. who had just came from the Pro Bowl, because he didn't hustle off the field, and we got a 5-yard penalty that ended up giving Jacksonville got an opportunity to keep the ball, and we lost the game in the playoff. Mike Shanahan cut Michael Dean Perry.
Sometimes you have to cut somebody to make an example and send a message to the locker room. This is the way we're going to do business. I told you the classic Jimmy story yesterday. Last regular season game of, 1992. Mm-hmm. They're on their way to the first Super Bowl. Kervin Richards is just in mop-up duty as a backup running back in the fourth quarter. Fumbled. Jimmy cut him the next day. He's the backup running back. They went without a backup running back and swept right through the playoffs and blew out Buffalo in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and the rest is history. He sent a message.
Yes.
This will not be tolerated.
Yes.
And again, since Jimmy, the Barry Switzer, they love Barry Switzer, was different. But after Switzer, no fear, no sense of urgency. Under Jerry, he's just like Granddaddy Jerry, mm-hmm. and nobody has any fear of losing their job in that locker room. That's why Xavier Woods, he's a good kid. We had him on the show, mm-hmm. as you remember, in the offseason. Enjoy him. The coaches love him. He's an overachiever, sixth-round pick out of Louisiana Tech. And they thought they could go forward with Xavier Woods at safety. And I kept telling you in the offseason, no, that's not going to work. I wish that had been Earl Thomas, because help me out here. And I know all the baggage, all the issues, all the problems with mm-hmm. Earl Thomas. But help me out. On that play, the Odell bend it like Beckham play, mm-hmm. help me out. Would Earl Thomas have made a play on the ball? You better believe he would have. It's the way he's built. He was born to make plays like that. It would have been a 5-yard loss, because he would have sniffed it and he would have jumped on it. And there's no way in the open field he would have let Odell deke him.
Skip, does he realize coaches judge and critique you harsher mm-hmm. in losses than they do in wins?
Yep.
He says, because I can learn more about you in a loss than I ever could in a win. You see, when things are going well, everybody's going to be flying around.
Okay.
That's why I need to see what you're like in a loss, Skip. That's why guys say, oh, okay, we're down X amount of points. I'm going to see who still wants to play. Mm. I want to see who still loves the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you give me that, and yep. then you had to, Skip, he said this out loud. Skip, I might think a lot of things throughout the course of the game, after the game. But to say that out loud, how could you expect me to play hard yep. for the entirety of the game? You expect to get your whole check?
I wonder if he had a copy of the TV tape on which the commentator was one Daryl Moose Johnston, who used to block in open holes for Emmitt Smith.
Yes.
It was as high collision of fullback as you will ever know.
Correct.
You want to talk about effort? Every play,
yes.
all heart, all soul, every ounce into every play. Daryl was the commentator, and as the replay has shown, you can hear him say, Xavier Woods, poor effort. Xavier just sort of overran the play and then gave a half-hearted arm swipe that whiffed on Odell.
Yeah, Skip, okay. And like I said, and Thomas, the linebacker, 48, mm-hmm. they're running out of bounds. Why, Skip? You do not assume somebody is going to run out of bounds. And that's why sometimes quarterbacks get hit. Like, you can't assume that the guy's going to slide, because you see what happened with last Thursday night, the quarterback at the Jets, Skip.
Darnold.
Yeah. Remember, he scrambled and got 48 mm-hmm. yards
yep.
because everybody thought he'd go down and slide. Oh, he didn't slide. Guess what happened? They caught his butt the next time. Mm-hmm. They slammed him down. He's out of this week's game.
Yep.
I'm going to make Odell Beckham. He either going to run out of bounds or he going to go down.
So it looked like they quit on the play after the offense had just got him back in the game. If you had quit on a play at 41-14, the score was 41-14 early in the fourth quarter.
Right.
If they had quit on a play that made it 48-14, you know, if
yes. been,
then you'd say, okay, oh, well, they just mailed it in. They're done for the day. This is the play of the game.
Thank you.
This is the stop of the game, and I'm with you. I don't know for a fact, but I think Dallas would have won the game.
Yes.
If they got the ball back.
Absolutely.
And remember, they scored with 3:42 left in the game. It wasn't like 48 seconds were left.
Right.
You cut it to three with 3:42. You need your defense to at least try, right?
And considering that you've given up 37 points a game, so where is the effort? You say effort is not a problem. So if Skip, it's a simple rule. If effort isn't the problem, that means talent is. I can replace talent. Mm. I mean, man, I don't understand for these guys, but like you said, there's no fear factor. We would play Kansas City, who was a heavy man, pressure team. We play the Raiders. Mike Shanahan would come into the meeting room, the offensive meeting room, because normally he'd say his big thing and he'd go up to his room. But when Kuhl was getting ready, Mike would come back in there. He'd say, guys, he'd look around, he'd talk, 84, 80, 87. If you can't beat man coverage, you're selling cars or you're coaching. Well, my coaching staff is filled and John Elway isn't hiring. Mm-hmm. So you better beat man coverage.
Yep.
There's a fear. That me, Rod, Ed, those guys, we had to beat that. There's no fear.
No fear.
For the Cowboys, because they've been able to have a secret passage up to Jerry's office.
They do.
Jerry is the problem.
Right.
It's not Mike McCarthy. It's never been Jason Garrett. It's Jerry Jones who's giving them carte blanche to say this. I would cut it.
And unfortunately, Jerry now has the safety net known as the NFC least.
Yes.
Because they can still say, we just got the Giants this week. We'll be right back in first place.
You know how bad the NFC East is? It's got Ron Rivera benching a quarterback only, and it's got 10 starts up on his belt.
You know why?
Because he believes he can win the division.
He said that. He admitted it publicly. He said, I know we got a shot in this division.
Let that sink in for a second.
So he wants to go to Kyle Allen because I think we had a better chance of stealing division with Kyle Allen. And by the way, they opened with a big win over the Eagles.
Eagles.
Okay.
I mean, the guy, I mean, and he said he need more reps. Well, the guy need more reps, but you bench him. He had no OTAs, no minicamp, no preseason game. He needs more reps.
Yeah.
But we're going to send him to the bench. Okay. Not only do we send him to the bench, we put him third.
I agree. Last quick point about your Randy Moss point. I remain a Randy Moss fan.
Yes!
Look, if you're the wide out and you're split wide left and it's, you know, it's a toss right, sweep right,
yeah.
Maybe you can say, okay, I'm just going to kind of fake it till I make it over here for a while. I get that. But on defense, it requires every ounce, every second, because you never know where the play is coming.
Right, and that was, Skip, that's the thing that I tip my hat to Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey, because they couldn't take a break because they didn't know when TD was going to bend it back.
Well, so that's a whole other issue.
Because if they bend that ball back and Mike Shanahan turned that film on and said that could have been – that could have been 80.
That's a whole other issue. I got it.
But Skip, for him to say, Skip, he said this out loud. He said, you can't expect a guy to play hard the entirety of the game.
And it will come and it will go. Next, we got the Giants. They're 10-point favorites over the Giants. Way to go.
No mercy.
For the sixth time in his career, LeBron James has had at least 500 points, 150 rebounds, and 150 assists in a single playoff run. And just for context here, guys, Larry Bird is the only other player to have ever accomplished this, and he did it in 1987. That's when I was born. Dating myself. Shannon, what does this tell you?
Yeah, what did it tell you? I mean, I'm running out of accolades. I mean, I'm going to try to find new words.
Really?
I call Thorndike, Barnhart, and Webster, and it's like, I need new words.
Really?
To describe GOAT. They say, well, you got to wait till the beginning of the year.
I got a new word.
No, don't do that. Okay. No, we should have no new words. Skip, I mean, they've been playing 74 years. It's been done one time, Larry Bird in 1987. Mm. Now, I get, Skip, earlier in some of the series, it was the best 3 out of 5. But in 87... So, in other words, Larry Bird did it in 87. Was Michael Jordan in the league in 87? I just want to make sure it's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, was he in the league in 87? So, he was in the league from 87 until, 98? Mm. So, you said we're not going to count those last 2 years. We're not going to count Washington.
Mm.
And he never did this.
Mm.
He played
game over.
Whoa, talk about. I asked you.
That's cinches.
I asked you if you wanted to go. You said no. You go ahead. So allow me to have my turn. Thank you. So there were four times that Michael Jordan played at least 19 games in a playoffs. Am I correct, Skip? That's at least 19. He did. I mean, the points was good. He get the point. Rebound, assist. Rebounds, he did that one time. He hit that number right on the head, 150. Never got to the assist total. What I've been trying to tell you, no man has had the responsibilities on his plate that GOAT James had. So it's been done seven times in NBA history. Six of those times have been done by one man, GOAT James. Skip, I'm running out of things to say about it.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you explain he's 3-6 in the finals?
I mean, he's 3-6. No debate, about to be 4-6. But if you look at the numbers, because see, this is what I love about you guys. You Michael Jordan fans, you love numbers. Love them. Look at what he did against in 86. He averaged 37. He was MVP. He was defensive player of the year. Had a bunch of numbers. What did he win? They had the finals that year. You know the year that he won the MVP and defensive player of the year and averaged all those points? They had an NBA finals that didn't go off with Michael Jordan in it.
Yeah.
Why?
Once he got there, what started happening?
Whoa.
6-0.
You see what it is? Everybody got an opportunity to take their time and develop and understand how to win.
Okay.
My guy's the GOAT, and your guy isn't.
Just stop it. I feel we're going to get struck by lightning.
No, we're not.
Time you say
no,
we're not. Because God's going to say, Shannon, that's enough.
He knows it's the truth. He knows my heart.
My word for LeBron is misleading because he is the master of the misleading stat. Obviously, he is a stat piler, stat patter. He can roll out of bed and it's 28, 8-8, just out of bed without even trying. What happened was 8 straight times in the Eastern Conference, he made it to the finals. That's a lot of basketball games. You're going to pile up lots of numbers, especially when you're as gifted as LeBron James and you have such a high usage rate where you're leading your team in usage rate. You're going to have assists. You should have way more rebounds than you have because you're 6'9", 250, sometimes 260 or 265. And in this case, you went 8 straight times, and 4 times in Miami, you had D. Wade and Chris Bosh as your sidekick, so to speak. 4 times in Cleveland, you had Kevin Love, and 3 of those times you had Kyrie Irving, who did hit the last shot in your one big comeback from 3-1 down against Golden State to win Game 7. And right now, you're on the easiest path to a ring you have ever had. Michael Jordan never got to play a team like the Miami Heat 75-1 preseason to even get to the
NBA Finals.
Played
a lot of those in the East, though.
What, are you serious?
Yeah.
It was the Eastern Conference.
No.
Just
because someone is physical doesn't mean they're talented. They're two different things, so stop that.
Okay, so he's piling up stats. 3 times he got to play George Paul's Pacers on these runs through the Eastern Conference. 3 times he got to play the Baby Dinosaurs featuring DeMar DeRozan, now one of my Spurs. And I just don't trust it because he's not LeBron James, and LeBron knew it, and he could just bully these teams in submission and just stat pad like crazy playing entire fourth quarters. I get all that. So I get the numbers. Those are impressive numbers, but we don't focus on the ones that count, like free throw shooting. He is the worst superstar under 7-foot free throw shooter we've ever seen. The worst point guard, two guard free throw shooter in the history of the playoffs is LeBron James because he's 73% for his career. That's awful. I mean, Jordan was 84% and
what was Jordan's 3-point percentage?
They didn't even shoot the three.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
It came in effect in 1979. Okay.
By the way, speaking of 3 points, you want a current stat that I love? If we take the Rockets series and the Nuggets series and now the Heat series in the fourth quarters of all those games back through the last 3 series.
So they only play fourth quarters?
Fourth quarters. You tell me that's the money quarter.
That's what you say.
Right now, LeBron in those 3 series is 2 of 23 in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
That's 9%. Does anybody talk about that stat? 2 of 23 in the fourth quarter?
So I just want to make sure I'm here. So we're going to disregard.
You realize he's 0-for-6 in the last two games against Miami and 0-for-9 if we go back three games.
So are we discounting the first three quarters? Ooh. So what did he do in the fourth quarter on Tuesday night? Mm. Was that any good?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
No, it's good against the Heat.
Oh, so now it's against three. You see rookies. What you do, Skip? You minimize it.
And by the way, do you realize since LeBron came into the league,
yes,
on free throws with 5 seconds or less to tie or win the game, he is the worst free throw shooter in the league since he came in. He's at 57% of those free throws.
Okay.
Okay, he's an awful late-game free-throw shooter. But you say, that just closes the game. Piles up these numbers in the Eastern Conference, and you say, that's it.
Let me ask you a question. Since he's come into the league with a chance to tie or win the game, mm-hmm, on shots, mm, where does he rank on that?
Yeah, he's made some.
He's made more than you-know-who. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to say his name, but you know who it is. Mm. You see right now.
Don't get me started on the ones where he ran from the last shot because he was afraid they'd foul him and send him to the free throw line.
But hold on. You see what you did?
His Achilles heel.
Okay. Tuesday night, he went to the free throw line. He made all seven.
Yep.
He's made all of it. He's making his shots. And now you're still talking about, now you're finding something.
You know what was amazing about that? And I did. I gave him credit for making his seven. Obviously, they weren't shots with, you know, like last second tie shots, last 2 minute shots where you got to make free throws to keep your head above water, yeah, or to win the game.
Yeah.
They were all on the lead, with the lead or on the lead, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's the only reason they got the lead.
Okay.
Remember, he went on that 7-0 run by himself.
Okay. So he did make the one drive shot and the and one that did give them the lead. I gave him credit for that. That was with like 6-7 minutes to go.
It was 83-83. Jimmy Butler had just made a shot to tie the game at 83.
Okay, I got that. But what amuses me is you had to come in yesterday morning and say, wasn't that great? He made 7 of 7.
No, I didn't say that.
As if it was a big deal.
No.
And because he doesn't usually make 7 of 7. No one ever went in the next day on a talk radio show and said, can you believe Jordan made all 7 of his free throws? He did it all the time. It was commonplace. It's not commonplace for LeBron James.
But we've seen Jordan miss free throws at the end of the game that could have tied it or could have won it. Mm-hmm. It's happened. So this notion, but what we're seeing, Skip, mm-hmm, is that we've never seen a guy. Because you got to remember, when Jordan was 35, that was year 13 for him. Mm. My guy, 35, that's year 17 with 10,000 more minutes on the legs.
And you realize that tomorrow night he will tie Derek Fisher for most playoff games ever played. 259 playoff games. That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Jordan made it to 179.
Why only made it 179?
Because they sent him home for 2 years.
No.
Then he retired for 3 years.
No. Okay, so did they not have the extended playoffs like in 84 to 90?
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't he go?
Well, all he did was his last 6 years in Chicago, he just went and won the whole championship.
So he only played 6 years in Chicago? I could have sworn he got drafted by the Bulls in 84. So I'm just trying to figure out, what did he do from 84 to 90?
Well, if he hadn't been forced to play baseball for 2 years, he would have won 8 straight finals.
If you don't mind me asking, what year did they force him to play baseball?
Wow.
Was that between 84 and 90? I need you to tell me those years.
Yep, he was up against 3 of the greatest teams ever.
He's the GOAT. You tell me GOAT are supposed to overcome that.
Well, and that brings up the whole point of how many epic fails do you sweep under your carpet over there? Because you give me these stats, and I say, well, wait a second. The GOAT, LeBron James, in 2007, he played against the Spurs that you have little to no use for. You have ripped them. You have ridiculed my Spurs. Come on, broccoli. They're nothing but broccoli.
That's because of the style of play. Okay, but that doesn't mean they didn't have great players.
They swept him. If he's the GOAT, you got to win one game.
Well, Michael didn't win one game against the Celtics.
And then Orlando, he fades away the last 3 games in 2009.
I'm glad you said that. People at home, the Orlando series that Skip Bayless is telling you he faded away, LeBron James was 38-8-8. That's what he averaged for 6 games. Mm. Skip would have you believe he faded away. Mm-hmm. 38-8-8.
Okay, what about Boston the next year? Games 4, 5, and 6 after he played one of the greatest games of his career in game 3. And then 4, 5, and 6, what happened?
In that game 6 that you talked about, LeBron James was 27, 19, and 10.
Mm. And his owner soon accused him of quitting against those Celtics.
You see what you do?
And somebody from the inner circle then dropped a little hint to Stephen A. Smith that he had to be sedated for the last three games because of an issue.
You notice
I
noticed people take a lot of shot. I just heard David Griffin says winning. He's not as hungry for winning as he once was. Skip Bayless, Rob Parkin, everybody said LeBron James came to retire. Mm. He came to do Hollywood. Mm. He's on the precipice.
Did LeBron not melt down against the Dallas Mavericks in 2011? Something we're going to talk about in just a minute here on the show.
Did he not melt down? He didn't play with. And I've never tried to sweep that under the rug.
Okay. Did Ray Allen not save him with the greatest clutch shot I've ever seen after LeBron LeBricked the tying three in game six of 2013?
We're not in that position if LeBron James doesn't go bonkers in the fourth quarter.
He also had three turnovers in that game in the last 3 minutes.
He also has 16. He also has 16 of their 30 points and assisted on another two for 22 of the 30. LeBron James was stirring the pot.
Then 2015, when he had it in the palm of his hand, maybe the greatest achievement ever. He had game four at home, up 2-1. He let Iggy outplay him. Wow. Iggy?
36-13-9, and Iggy outplayed him. Yeah. You feel comfortable saying that?
Yes, I do, because he went 7-22 against Iggy in game four. Came up real small.
So even though he came 7-22, 36-13-9, he got outplayed. Well. And then he came back against KD and went 34-12-10. And then he came back the next year and went 33-11-9.
He can stat pad like crazy.
Now, hold on.
All losses swept, gentlemen swept.
So what is leading the league in scoring for 10 consecutive years? Is that stat pad?
Wait, when you're going 6-0 in the finals?
Hold on. No. Hold on. That's 10. So if he went 6-0 in the finals, where are those 10 championships? Because he led the league in scoring 10 times. Where are those 10 championships?
LeBron's led the league in scoring one time.
Hey.
10-1?
We the GOAT.
GOAT.
You nervous. You nervous.
I'm not.
You nervous.
I've never. This has been over for a long time.
You nervous. And like a long-tailed dog on a porch full of rocking chairs. You nervous like that, Skip Bayless.
No mercy.
Thursday Night Football returns to Fox tonight. Tom Brady and the all-new Bucs look like the real deal as he meets Super Bowl 52 rival Nick Foles and the Bears on Fox NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video. Ready for it. Guys, Mark Cuban and the Mavs got the last laugh against LeBron in 2011 by upsetting his Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. LeBron might be 9 years older now, but Cuban said the King has improved so much since then. It's, quote, night and day. Cuban's reasoning was that LeBron now has the game's highest IQ and is a basketball savant. Shannon, does Cuban have a point?
He does. And Skip, it's kind of like these quarterbacks. It's like there's not a defense you can throw at Brady or Breeze or Aaron Rodgers in which they haven't seen. Now, you might pressure him and make them make some mistakes, but as far as a defensive schematically, you can't throw anything at him like, oh, okay. They're going to know. They can diagnose it. Now, you can put pressure on them and make them and speed them up. And that's where LeBron is. At 17 years in the league, Skip, he's matured his mind. He knows what you're trying to do. He knows the weakness in the defense, where he needs to go with the ball automatically. He's advanced. So there's no question in my mind he's a better player. Now, I don't believe he can jump as high as he could. People don't realize. Do they realize how long ago that's been? That's 10 years. We're coming up on 10 years. That's how long it's been. That was 2011. Here we are in 2020. So that's almost a decade ago. And so I agree with Mark Cuban that LeBron James is much different than that LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And had this LeBron James had been playing then, they would have swept the Dallas Mavericks. But that's neither here nor there. The Mavericks won. They deserve to win. But LeBron James has advanced in his mind and his ability to play the game of basketball.
And I say this is the biggest bunch of baloney I have ever heard spewed, even from Mark Cuban. And by the way, I have invited, even dared Mark Cuban to come sit right here, and I've not heard a peep from him, but he is still invited to come sit here any day, any night that he wants. We'll even put it on in prime time. LeBron James was not a rookie in 2011. He was in his eighth year in the league, in the NBA. He was in his second NBA Finals. He had already won two MVPs. And now Cuban, which he's done before with me on another show, he's trying to take strategic credit for taking LeBron right out of the flow of the game. He was lost. He was befuddled. He was bamboozled by the zones we threw at him. Are you kidding me? What was the quote from Cuban? We would run a zone against him, and he would hesitate and not know what to do.
Right.
Are you telling me LeBron James in AAU basketball and high school basketball had never seen a zone defense?
But here's the thing. In high school, LeBron James is so much more talented than those guys. That's a difference. But let me ask you a question. If the zone defense is so easy to break, why couldn't Giannis do it? Why couldn't the Celtics do it?
Talking about LeBron,
but that's
who does have the highest IQ in basketball. And you know what? He had it when I watched him on TV when he was in high school. You could just see it. He saw what was happening before it even happened. He was born with the gift of vision and anticipation.
Yes.
It is extraordinary.
It's heightened.
He was always the best passer in basketball. Obviously, he needed to buttress it, to reinforce it with experience in the league.
Thank you.
When you're in your eighth year in the league, at the end of your eighth year, playing with the Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, coached by Spoelstra and overseen by Pat Riley, you're lost and befuddled by a zone defense.
Let me ask you a question.
Baloney.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe Eric Spoelstra is a better coach now
or
was a better coach then?
Sure.
Why? Why?
Well, that was the year LeBron went upstairs and told Pat Riley, it's time for you to take over.
So in other words, everybody else can get better with time. Mm-hmm. Only LeBron James was supposed to be at his absolute best then and cannot grow since.
8 years into the league with two MVPs, and you're telling me he's like a deer in headlights? They're playing zone. I don't know what to do.
No. But he didn't say, Skip, he hesitate. And in sports, he who hesitate is beat.
Well, that's life, actually.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, games 4, 5, and 6 was the all-time freeze-up job by a superstar. It was chosen one turns into frozen one, and it wasn't because of zone defenses or any strategy that the Dallas Mavericks deployed. He just wasn't ready for the brightest lights. That kind of pressure, they were called the Heatles, remember? And it was extraordinary. They were favored to win. They were expected to win. And in games 4, 5, and 6, he averaged 15 points, 8 and 8. 8 and 8's good, but the 15 not good because he shot only 44% when he was a 51% shooter from the field in the regular season. He went 2 of 12 from 3 in those last 3 games. That's 17%. He went 4 of 10 from the free throw line. You know what that percent is. And he finished in those 3 games minus 41 in his plus minus.
Yeah.
It was horrendously bad, and it wasn't about a zone defense.
The defense had nothing to do with it.
I'm sure it had a little to do with it, but he is LeBron James, and it wasn't because his IQ hadn't been honed enough in the NBA.
Well, eight years. But it's funny. I know a guy went 7 years and he couldn't get to the finals. Yeah, what was that about?
But nobody ever said he had to figure out how to. You know, to play against a zone.
He had to figure out how to trust his teammates.
No mercy.
The Texans now have the third highest odds to win the AFC South, according to Fox Bet, after firing Bill O'Brien. Reports say that J.J. Watt and O'Brien had a verbal blowout in practice 2 weeks ago, which may have led to the coach's release on Monday. So, Shannon, how much do you believe this incident had to do with the firing?
Everything. Skip, J.J. Watt has as much clout as any non-quarterback in all of football. And he's royalty in Houston. He's the best player of that organization. Now, Deshaun Watson might have something to say about that at the end of his career.
I would agree.
As we stand right now, J.J. Watt is the greatest Houston Texan player in NFL history. And it had a lot. And Skip, I guess he's tired. He's seen all these horrible moves that he's made, trading Jadeveon Clowney and trading DeAndre Hopkins and Dwayne Brown and all of this. He said, man, enough is enough. And when he said, something needs to change. Mm. Ownership heard that. Mm. That's why Bill O'Brien didn't have a job. Yep. And he didn't even deny it, Skip. He could have like, but I've never heard anything like this, Skip. I've been 14 years. I've never seen a player and a head coach have a blow up in front of the team.
Really?
Nope.
Well, I've seen a number of those.
Mm-mm.
Really?
Nope.
Huh. Well, listen, Bill O'Brien has proven that he can be a hothead.
Yes.
And he clashed with Clowney and sent him on his way, and then he fell completely apart with DeAndre Hopkins and got rid of him. And here he goes with the guy on the team except for the quarterback. But again,
he fell apart with him and he got gone.
Well, I'm assuming that maybe it became a him or me situation where maybe he said, I need to get rid of JJ, and they said, nope. You're out.
Yeah.
Because he has a delusional view of his own value.
Woo! Billy, some fights you learn to pick and some you don't. But J.J. Watt won this one.
Yeah. Well, a new start for the Texans. They can only go up from here. That is it, guys, for Undisputed. Good stuff today. We're back same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Have a good one.